Well, this service is before Passover is celebrated by the Jews, which I'm going to go to a Seder in the local synagogue. So I look forward to being with our Jewish friends. Tomorrow is the last day. If anybody wants to go, tomorrow's the last day you can sign up. You'd have to contact the synagogue. And then they'll celebrate the Passover, and then we will celebrate Resurrection Sunday. It's a wonderful time of year to remember. Thank God that we put it to remembrance and that we share it with many that maybe have never put it to remembrance. You know, I'm sure this time of year is so ripe with opportunities to bring the gospel to people, the good news that have never heard it before. Some people only go to church this time of year, mm-hmm. and maybe Christmas. As John and I took this trip, we went up the West Coast, which we've done for over 30 years. How many years have we been married? Since 74, added up. A lot of years. And we've always enjoyed different adventures. We used to have everything planned. We go by the Spirit now, don't we, honey? We just let the Holy Spirit lead our trips. But there's one little teeny community that I have driven through, passed by for the last 36 years, and never visited. Until I was talking with a friend about this city called Harmony up in Northern California. And the person said, oh, you must stop there. I said, there's really something in Harmony? She said, yes, they blow glass. And I hadn't seen blown glass since I was a little kid and went to Mexico for the day with my dad when he flew us to Juarez. Well, though we missed blowing glass, they only do it on weekends, I did get to go into the store and talked with the little woman and talked with her about the little town, and then visited other little shops that were there. They actually have their own post office. For those that don't know, Harmony has a population of 18 people. And I asked her, I said, so what's the population now? And she said, well, there's so many people in that house, and there's so many, yep, there's still about 18 now. But there's a little history of Harmony, and I think it really ties into what God wants to say. Because after I went to this little town, I went to sleep that night, and I had the most spectacular dream. It was just an incredible dream with God. I was like hopping and leaping and praising the Lord. Something happened when I went into this little glass shop that did something to me, which I'll unfold as we go on. But Harmony was founded, the little town, in 1869. Just a teeny little history. And it was founded around several dairy ranches and a creamery. The operation, this little creamery, changed hands repeatedly because of one issue: rivalries. And the rivalries led to a killing in 1907. As a result of that killing, the owners and ranchers came into an agreement. They agreed to call off their feud and change the name of the town to its present name as a symbol of their truce, Harmony. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. What's a rivalry? A rivalry is a competition for the same objective. Isn't there a rivalry on this earth? There is a rivalry, and the objective is that two sides want you, and you, and you, and you, and me, and all of us, and the whole world. One side wants your worship. The other side wants you. God through Jesus with the woman at the well, when he prophesied and prophetically told her about her life, he said, "You don't even know what you are worshiping." Do you realize that most human beings don't even know what they're worshiping? He said, God is looking for worshipers. The enemy wants your worship, which is your work, your time, your energy, everything about you. He wants every cell in your body to be running the way he is. And that's in constant competition and conflict. But God wants you. How amazing that pretty much in the center of California is a place called Harmony. This little necklace, this little red heart, I bought at the little glass shop to remind me of Harmony.
What?
Yeah. I remember walking out of this one store. I can show you the picture later. I posted on Facebook. There was this big bush, and it was all groomed in the shape of a heart. When I went into this little shop, there were different glass blowers that had their work there. And I was so in awe because, though they used all the same colors, right? I mean, there's just the spectrum of colors, they use them. A lot of them just use primary colors. There was something so amazing that I experienced just being there, because they each brought a different element of vision into their art. And the Lord wants to speak to us about living in perfect harmony tonight. Living in perfect harmony. We're told out of Psalm 133, if you turn in your Bible there, this is a good mention of harmony. Psalm 133 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity," or we can say tonight, harmony. I know that Terry Nishimoto was singing background. I know their family, because of their musical background, they understand that there are harmonies that can be sung. Though it's the same song, each person sings a different part that brings a different element of intensity and feeling to the person that hears it. It's the same in the body of Christ. How beautiful and pleasant it is when we dwell together and we harmonize with one another. That doesn't mean we all do the same thing. In fact, how boring is that if we all do the same thing? If we were all brought here to do the same thing, we would have all been the same. But he has dispersed his creative thoughts, his abilities, his commission within all of us. That's why we need each other. Because we add to one another. That's why we want more to come into the kingdom, because there's other people out there that God could use. Your life, even your work, is like a piece of music. And whether you know it or not, people that pass you by during the day, know if you're in harmony with yourself or not. Animals are really good at knowing if you're in harmony with yourself. So what is harmony? Harmony within us is what we think, what we feel, what we say, what we do. That's why we want the walk to go with the talk that a lot of times they talk about. That oneness when you're at peace. Though you go up the coast, you see a lot of the New Age. You see a lot of people that want to be one with the universe. They are searching. They want to be at peace. There's this one little cafe I really like to go to, and I noticed that all their pictures, actually I thought that it didn't even exist anymore, but they've so expanded because they're so popular, their food that they make is just so yummy and tasty and good for you, that I happened to see a woman with a bowl and I said, oh my gosh, where did you get that? And she said, oh, the cafe here. And I said, cafe? She said, oh yes, they've built a whole cafe since I was there last year. But when I went in, they had pictures of beautiful pictures of countries all around the world, from India, you know, all these places. I've been to India. I know people that are down to the earth, big time. But they don't really have the harmony that God wants them to have. I tell you, the first place you have to have it is in you. And make sure that you're at peace with you. You know, one thing that the scriptures say is that we can actually come to peace with God. Receiving communion is coming to peace with what he did for us. I love Miriam's book on offense because she talks about how so many people are offended at the way God brought salvation to humanity. And in this day, a lot of people are offended at a lot of things. But what's interesting, when you search a little bit about harmony, you get a whole different slew of things on the internet. You don't get as much Christian, you get more the New Age, the people that are looking for that oneness, that peace. And some have, they just have not acknowledged who the giver of peace and harmony is. So think about yourself as a song note. You know, even in the natural, each one of us can sing in a certain part of the musical, A, B, C, D, the different notes. And one thing that Miriam always used to say to me was, make sure that you sing the songs that you lead in the key that is best for your voice, because you'll carry the anointing at a higher level than if you try to sing it in another chord or note. Isn't that interesting? That each one of us carries a different level of anointing, even in our voice. That's why you need to know yourself. So that if you have a very strong voice, you need to know that there's a lot of power there, but if it's not under the control of the Holy Spirit, it could hurt someone. Where sometimes you'll hear from this little sweet little person, You just think their voice is just so sweet. Well, they're bringing an element of the presence of God. But you know, we need them all. Don't we need those authoritative, strong voices? And then we need the soft ones. One thing in this dream that I had as I was hopping and leaping, when we are in harmony with God, in peace with God, though this ministry is called Leaders After God's Heart, it doesn't mean you follow me. It means that the leader follows God and you join in with following God in your part. So if the Holy Spirit suddenly comes upon someone in a gathering like this, it doesn't mean follow them. It just means they're following, hopefully, the Spirit of God. And you follow however you're led to follow. That's what's so fun about being with people that are used to moving with the Holy Spirit and following His lead in everyday life. John and I got so many leaps. Let's go here. Let's go here. He's learned to leap with me in the Spirit. We'll go now. This one beach we went to, he said, where do you want to park? I said, I just knew he would have the leading, so I passed it over. You have the leading. So we went to another beach, and we saw how many, honey? 500 or so plover birds. They're an endangered little bird. They're very protected along the coast. About 500 of them. I have never seen a flock of birds in such unity in my life. In fact, I was so close to them because I was taking pictures. Mind you, they're 500 little teeny birds. And they would fly up in the air and they would do these formations. I've seen them over here in the Bolsa Chica Reserve. We've seen them over there. But I was so close that they actually flew by me and I could feel the force. And it was an awesome feeling. I was like, they are so with God. That's why he tells us to go and look at nature. Well, I tell you, if you're around buildings all the time and you're inside the four walls all the time and you're not out just going back and letting, like Jesus did with his followers, looking at what it is to be normal, it's important that you have these moments. So we had so many of them, and I will treasure those moments with the wildlife and the Lord allowing us to experience such a group in complete harmony and nobody bumping into anybody. No creature bumping into any other creature. It was just amazing. They would follow the water too. When the source came to them, they would back off until it stopped. As the water would recede and go back in the ocean, their two little legs would run. And then they would eat, and then they would run backwards, and even almost in formation. Sometimes they would be standing on one leg, and when the water would recede, they would hop on one leg. I was like, this was just an amazing sight to behold. Why? Because he shows us his creation to show us who he is. And I'm very, very grateful for that. Something else that we did while we were away, because it was a real restful time, but also a building time, because I don't go on vacation from the Lord. John and I, how many puzzles did we do? We did the 500-piece puzzles? We did several pieces. I'm getting better. What I'm seeing is when the Spirit of God spoke in Hebrews, and he said that in Hebrews 11. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 11. Says now faith, verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith has substance. If you are really believing God for something specific, there is substance to what you believe. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. One thing about puzzles, and puzzles to me are ways to problem solve. And I kept telling John, this is so good for your brain. I did a research. There's even a research with geriatrics. It's so good for the brain to do puzzles because of how your brain remembers things and puts things together. But when I think of puzzles, I think of this passage. Because God set up a framework in the way everything would work in this world. He set up all the laws. And if we don't know that framework, it's just a big mush to us. So it's always good to make sure that we are surely founded in the foundations of God. Go back and make sure your faith is nice and solid and you understand the ways to receive. Because the framework helps you to begin to see what it is He has for you. Many times, puzzles in the past, I would just try to put a puzzle. But in recent years, when I do puzzles, my first pieces out of the box are all the straight edges. And I get it all framed, and suddenly the puzzle begins to come together. I begin to see things. A lot of people want to know everything in advance. They want to know the whole purposes that God has. It doesn't work that way. It unfolds. One piece you put in a puzzle, suddenly you get to see the picture a little clearer, but the puzzle's not finished. And each piece adds another dimension. The Bakers, they've moved into a new house. This is a big piece that's been put in their life, but you know what? They don't know all of why they were sent into that area. It will unfold as different pieces of their life are led into different situations. This is how we stay at peace with God as He unfolds our life. What's the way you're going to do this? Don't even try to figure it out. Do you think that I could have naturally figured out that I would go up to Morro Bay one day and be impressed to walk into another little antique store and meet a young woman and her mother, and the young woman went to a Christian university in Tennessee, and she knows how to help people with their record label, that she could help a professional singer get their album together and mentor them. We got into the longest conversation about the things of God and how she ended up in Morro Bay after finishing her degree and what she's doing. Smart young girl. But the opportunity to minister to her and the mother who owns this antique store, and how God unfolded that they even purchased this little store was pretty amazing. I actually got to help them with how to deal with witchcraft and prayer, because they have a lot of different vendors and they've had a lot of different things come against them. She's the head. She owns the place, but a lot of different vendors. And she said, "You have a whole different type of people up here." I said, "I can only imagine." I said, "Let me give you a little secret." And I shared some things and gave them my business card. They said, "Come back. Come back and talk to us." I know that person I met, though the piece of the puzzle may not be really clear, that's a keeper. We have to realize that as we're out and about in life and we meet people, we may not have any idea that we'll have a future with them, but maybe there's something that keeps stirring in us. Don't let go of your information about them. I'd love to tell the story of Patty and I, how we met, or Maureen and I. My meetings with people aren't, I guess, I don't know what's normal. They're very unique. And yours can be too, and how you connect with people. But harmony is a connecting. It is a connecting, sometimes on a very, very practical place with people. Just so simple and practically. A lot of people, I think, expect some big vision. I don't know what they expect. But it doesn't always happen that way. We just have to realize, kind of like the little Easter basket, you know, you collect one leg, and you collect a little, and suddenly you start seeing, oh, there's a little pattern here. It's like John and I were going, okay, there's this red. Okay, there's a lot of red over here in these. All right, let's find all the pieces with the red that go together. And sometimes that's what happens with your life. You'll start finding, wow, I tend to be good at this. I'm kind of good at this. And I really tend to flow with the Lord when I'm together with this person and when this is going on. We need to be aware of these places of harmony that we have. And it's good to ask the Lord, is there something to this? Is there something else that you need me to know? There's two men in the Bible that to me flowed so amazingly together. And when we were on our trip, I said, "John, I'm going to share with you a little bit of the history of Paul." Because I remember when I first was even thinking about Jesus, I didn't know who Paul or any of those people were. I had to learn all that history. I just didn't have it as a child. But Paul and Silas were quite a couple in the spirit, as they float. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts 16. For many people, it can be easy to stay in harmony and flow when things are easy. But once the heat gets turned up, a lot of times they don't do things very well. And I think one reason is they don't have pieces of the framework of understanding of God in place. Years ago, I received a message, and this was the title of the message, "Knowing God More Intimately at the Midnight Hour." That was the title. I did not know naturally what I was about to get news-wise. But that message sustained me in perfect peace throughout everything that I had to deal with. Acts 16. Now, I was sharing with John that the Apostle Paul His call was really a lot of dealings with governmental officials, leaders in the government, and they weren't very nice. And how amazing that one day he was about to murder Christians, and the next day he is received Christ. And I'm going to talk a little bit about praying about those types of people that really have the blindness next week at the Wednesday prayer meeting. All right, Acts chapter 16, we're going to start with verse 25. Now, mind you, what got them into this prison was anybody know what got him in prison?
Did they cast out?
They cast out demons, didn't they?
The woman that was
the woman who was
prophesying and like a fortune teller, and but she was doing it by.
She was a diviner. She was making money. It disturbed, as I said to John, the spirit of divination does not like people that are straight, because it was making money for her masters. She was completely possessed. Anyway, so they did the godly thing and set her free. And suddenly, verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, on awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I'm going to stop there. There's so much you can say with this story. There's something very, very important to know about the midnight hour. If you search the scriptures, you will find the midnight hour as a very common thread throughout even the Tanakh into the New Covenant. And both sides used the midnight hour. Now, midnight in the natural is the darkest time of the night when you're at midnight. That's what it means. That's where we got midnight from. Now, it depends on where you are. If you're in Alaska, you know, midnight could be bright and sunny. God says he never sleeps and he never slumbers. So there is no midnight for God. But a lot of things that took place in the scriptures happened at midnight. Our adversary looks for midnight opportunities. Now, why would he use naturally the midnight hour? Naturally, have you ever not felt good in the middle of the night? Well, because you just don't necessarily have access to call just anybody at midnight. Unless you're like the person in the scripture that went to his friend at midnight, right? And pleaded with him. You tend to respond if somebody wakes you up at midnight saying, "Okay, what's going on here?" But basically, the midnight hour is when everything is at its absolute worst. They had been in prison for a while. They had been beaten. I'm sure it didn't feel good to be beaten, but have you ever been hurt and then the injury starts moving in? And you start swelling up. You know, you're not swollen necessarily when you first get hit. But they were probably hurting naturally pretty bad. But it says that they prayed and sang praises. So they talked to the Lord and they sang praises. Now in this setting, this word sang praises gave a note that the Jews had certain psalms, and I want you to write these psalms down. These are really good psalms. We're going to actually go through them. You can open your Bible to Psalm 113. These psalms are called the Paschal Psalms or the Passover Psalms, and they are sang or sung at most of the holy, high holy days that the Jews partake of. And so they will be singing these during Passover. They're called the Hallels. And it's Psalm 113 through Psalm 118, and they're specific, and Psalm 136. I believe it's 136. So if you have your Bibles there, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord." Now I want you to really look at these psalms as we go through them and think, because it says that they were singing praises, which meant a hymn in the Greek, but for the Jew, they were most likely singing these psalms. And notice what some of these psalms say as they were probably singing these to the Lord. "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust." Do you think there was dust in that prison? "And lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." Psalm 114. "When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of a strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? Ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs? Tremble thou earth, what happened in that prison? Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters." Now, you might say, in that part, in that region, there was a lot of earthquakes. But an earthquake doesn't open the shackles. So this was definitely a miracle of God. Could have been both. Doesn't say. It just says earthquake. Psalm 115. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy true sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?" Do you think the heathen were probably saying this while they were locked up? "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands." Boy, what did he do? The idol of the person that was making money for their masters. "They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know, that precious means it's going to cost you, God, if we die. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Boy, did he loose their bonds? I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of the thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Can you hear them in this jail? The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over into death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even into the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And we could read Psalm 136. What does that do to you? I'm so glad you all just began. It just kind of gets a hold of you. What do you think happened in that prison when they began to praise and praise and praise and praise? And what does he say? If we don't praise him, that the rocks will cry out. This is our example in the midnight hour. How much more when things are going wonderful? We should still be praising the Lord. We should still be boasting of our God, puffing up our God. And that's what they were doing. They were totally boasting of the Lord. And if you look through all the Psalms, these specific Psalms are the ones they choose because it is nothing but completely exalting the one true Most High God. You want to live in perfect harmony? You want perfect harmony. You have to stay with the orchestra leader of the perfect harmony. Stay with him. It doesn't matter if you're in the midnight hour, in the middle of a crisis in your job, if you have to go into the bathroom and praise the Lord. Now, some people just don't do it by the leading of the Lord, but they were led by the Holy Spirit. They were knowledgeable of the scriptures and the history of the Jews, that anytime something happened at midnight, they got the word of the Lord. The first time it's recorded that they ever sang was the Song of Moses, after crossing the Red Sea. This is where a lot of believers under the New Covenant have missed it. What we were given from our Jewish friends is God performed a miracle for them. We now are not supposed to wait for the miracle. We are to believe God by faith. We are under the covenant of faith in what he did for them. And that's exactly what Paul and Silas did. They didn't just sit there, okay, so where's the miracle? They were very involved in singing before the miracle took place, where Moses and the children of Israel sang after the miracle. Do you see the difference? We are under a new covenant with better promises. So if we want to stay in harmony with God and one another, we've got to do it his way. Praise the Lord. Boast in our God. And watch him do valiantly. Are you in a tough place in your job? Then you need to clean house with the praises of God. The reason that she wasn't getting over to the other side in her job is because she didn't praise her way into the new job. Father, I thank you. Let's all stand up. I thank you. I thank you, God, that you are the God of miracles, that you are the God of faith in your miracle power, that you are the God that is in complete oneness with yourself, and you are worthy, worthy to be praised, worthy to be worshiped and served, worthy to be followed your way. And I thank you, Father, that you begin to speak to your people in this day of getting rid of the old way of waiting for the miracle and into the new way of praising their way into the miracle. I thank you and I praise you for those that have gone before us. I thank you for their stalwartness, for their ability to hold strong with you in the face of natural, horrendous situations. They chose to believe you. They chose to come to you. They chose to seek you while you could be found. And I thank you. I thank you for many, many prison houses being opened in families, in jobs. Yes, Lord. In physical bodies. I praise you, Lord. And I thank you that you are moving. Yes. You're moving mountains of obstacles. You're breaking shackles off of people's minds and bodies in this hour. And I thank you for the spirit of praise upon your people. I thank you, Father, that this ministry, leaders after your heart, will boast much in who you are. And I thank you, Lord, that you will show yourself strong, as you did in former days. And we give you all of the glory, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God.